Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
Value. Now, I want you to understand something before I even start tonight. This is a topic that's near and dear to my heart because it is so vast and so much bigger than you can put into one chapter of a book. And so I'm not just going to teach on it as far as what I believe tonight. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this. And so I'm not going to get through what all I want to talk about on value tonight. So I'm going to get as much as I can in because I think it's really important. Let's just define value to start tonight. Let's just define value. To define it, we'll just go and look at a dictionary definition, and there's a bunch of dictionaries you can look at, but the ones that were looked up in the chapter in the book was to be defined as to place an estimated worth. To place an estimated worth. So that's one of the definitions of value. Number two, to think highly of. Value, to think highly of. Number three, the quality of a thing that makes it more or less desirable. The quality of something, and whatever that quality is, makes it either less desirable or more desirable. Now, when you think about that, basically value is the worth we place on any and everything as far as it's important to us as an individual. Well, you say that's really technical terms. Well, let's just use an example. This example was great. For one person, and I would be that one person, baseball means nothing to me. Now, I know it's horrible. Most sports mean nothing to me. I'm just not a sports guy that's got to watch it every week, but I know the value that people place on sports, so I'm aware of it. And there is a value that young people can learn in the avenue of sports. And so I was very involved with it. But as I've got older, it's just not something that's that big a deal. Now, as I watch baseball, I want you to know that I know the rules of baseball. Pretty much, there may be a few that I'm a little confused with, depending on the different seasons of life that you play baseball. I mean, T-ball don't have the same rules as, so I mean, I understand there's some differences in areas of baseball, but here's the thing. For someone who baseball means absolutely nothing, kind of like me, they don't know all the rules. That they don't ever watch a game. They never follow a professional player on a team. And I'm always amazed at a very close friend of mine, and I'm going to tell him to listen to this podcast, Scott Fraker. He is a guy who I traveled all across the country with and sang with in a group for years. He was our bass singer, and I've never met anyone who knew more about baseball than Scott Fraker. I've just never met anybody. You would think that you would, but when you start talking, he knows every statistic, I think, that is out there about the St. Louis Cardinals, and not just this year, but you can go back in time and he knows it. It's no wow. It's annoying. For years, traveling on the bus, we had a TV on the bus and a satellite that would track the satellite going down the road, and we had a TV in the front end and a TV in the back end, so we could watch two different things. Just know if there was a St. Louis Cardinals baseball game going on, he had the back room, and he'd be yelling and screaming, and we'd go back and check on him, and half the times it was just at the commercials. That's how excited he was about just baseball being on TV. He's just so pumped about it. And here's the thing. I mean, when you start thinking about value and you place it on this, there is a difference in what he places value on baseball and I place on the value on baseball. And so when you understand that, I mean, a baseball that was in the World Series, that a guy, I remember a name called McGuire. I don't remember, anybody know his first name? Okay, y'all just you let me know a lot about you right there. Mark McGuire, a baseball that he hit out of the park during a World Series, if he did, I don't even know. But if he did, that baseball means absolutely nothing on my wall. I'm not paying a dime for that ball. But people place a lot of value on that ball. And I know that the ball, that the 70th one, I remember it being talked about on the bus, and I learned the thousands upon thousands of dollars someone paid for this ball as he broke the World Series record. I don't even remember what year it was. Some of you may. I'm blown away at what's... Here's why. It's not of value to me, but obviously someone who would pay thousands of dollars for that, it was valuable to them. It was valuable. And so when you start thinking like that, you can understand a little more about it. See, we spend our money based on what we have placed value on. When you go to the grocery store, there are certain things that you see as valuable. I love what they have done in the grocery stores. They've created a whole product line that says, great value. What they're trying to say is, our product has value, but it's not just that, it's great value. And most generally, it's saying that it is valuable because its price is good and it tastes just as good as the other. And I always think about this and I think value is oftentimes related to money. It is. And just to talk a little bit about this tonight, where people spend their money tells you a lot of where they place their value. Where people spend their time tells us where their value is. Now, there's a lot of people who obviously have worked all their life, and now they may not be working, or they may be working in a different area that doesn't produce a lot of money, and they still have value in their time. Now, I've heard people say, and my grandfather was one of them, he told me a lot, I can spend hours working on an old tiller instead of buying a new one because my time isn't really worth what someone else's time is. So he didn't put his time as a worth on it based on money, but it's worth it to me to spend my time working on this one instead of spending my money and going out and buying a new one. And I've always thought about that for years, and I thought, that's ridiculous. The hours he spends on working on that tiller. I just was blown away by that. Why would you spend that much time working on a tiller for $500, and I know you got it in your bank account. Go get you a new tiller that runs. But no, it was more valuable to him to leave his money in the account and to take his time and put it into one that doesn't until it does. Are you following what I'm saying? See, time is sometimes like money and sometimes it's not. And so you've got to hear what I'm saying tonight and be able to divide that correctly. So I'm just kind of setting this up. Time and money are similar in some ways. Time is like money in that it is spent on many different things depending on the value you place on that thing. Let me repeat that because I want to make sure we get it. Money and time are very similar in that they are spent on many different things, whether it be time or money, depending on the value you place on that thing. He placed a lot of value on a tiller that didn't run. I place no value on a tiller that doesn't run. I'm going to go buy one that does. But his time and my time, I place value on time that I wouldn't spend on a tiller. First, I know nothing about fixing a motor. So I'm not going to, there's no value in my time in place. Are y'all hearing this? And so you got to be able to understand the difference here. High value is placed on things, and there are other things that lower value is placed on. And I want you to hear this tonight because this will make such an impact in your life if you'll get a hold of these principles. A less value is oftentimes placed on non-material things, such as honesty. There is value in you being an honest person. But in our world, a lot of people don't place value on honesty. See, so we've been, in our society, we've placed a lesser value on honesty. We've placed a lesser value in our society on integrity, on love, on forgiveness, on peace. And we outweigh these things based on a new car, a new house, new clothes, jewelry. And so we place more value on things. And I think we get it out of line sometimes. And I think a lot of people in our society do. But what my problem is I don't want to see Christians doing that. Many driving a new car with fewer miles is oftentimes of higher value than being at a child's baseball game. Many are living in a house and having to work two jobs to pay for it, rather than getting home from work and playing with their kids in the yard. See, what I want you to hear what I'm saying, not to be attacking, not to be hurtful, but when I got a hold of this principle, it changed the way I lived. See, here's the question tonight that you need to ask yourself. I'm not asking you. Do I have a proper value system? That's the question. Do I have a proper value system? Romans 12:2. Let me just tell you why we should not look at our world and what they deem as valuable, and we need to look in a different place. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world. I don't want to look at what the world's doing to set my value system. In our society, we have placed a very high value on paying a pro athlete millions of dollars. But we've placed a lot lesser value on paying our teachers who are educating our children. So we're going to pay this pro athlete millions of dollars, yet this one teacher who's going to impact my child's life forever is not even touching the amount of money that goes into somebody who we view as a spectator and don't even know their name and really is not impacting our family. But we place value there, don't we? See, extra hours at work. Let me just go back to the sports thing. You say, well, what can I do about that? How much money do you invest in sports? How much money do you invest in the thing? And I'm going to talk about sports because I don't care about sports. I'm not going to talk about stuff I'm doing. I'm just talking about it. But how much money are you investing in things and placing a higher value than what you place on a teacher? What are you doing to bless those that are teaching your children? What are you doing to encourage them? Or are you placing your value in other areas? See, we can make a difference. We can make a difference in people's life. Extra hours at work oftentimes are spent by men and women alike rather than a date night with a spouse once a week. When's the last time, ask yourself that question, when's the last time you went on a date? See, TV can become more important in a home and be placed a higher value on than communication with your wife or your husband or your kids. Many are valuing hobbies and recreation or sleep over church attendance. Now, I understand I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but if you're listening to this on podcast, how important is hobbies, recreation, and sleep on Sunday morning, and how important is God's house? So where is your value system? My question is it working for you? Is it proper? Is this a good thing? Who decides if it's proper? Who decides if it's a good thing? Who decides if it's right? See, if you have made Jesus Lord of your life, then the Bible does. And his word means that there's a difference in the way I operate. But if you haven't made Jesus Lord and he's only Savior, and we'll be talking about that all year, then you've got a ticket to heaven and you can live however you want here on earth. But the Bible's real clear on how we need to be living here on earth. And the only way we're going to live by its dictates and what it says and its commandments and its promises is when we line ourselves up with Christ and make him Lord of our life. 63% of Americans believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Now, that statistic is always amazing because 80% check the Christian box, or 84% check the Christian box, but yet 63% believe that the Bible is God's word. I'm like, okay, we've got something messed up right there with those statistics. See, but what that tells me is there's nowhere near 63% of Americans who are living by what they say they believe. So we got a bunch of people lying to themselves. I mean, if you're not living by what you believe, then you're lying to yourself. And a lot of people lie to themselves. The Bible teaches a value system on everything. Everything. It teaches a value system. How you handle things will show you real quick the value you place on that thing. How you handle things. Everyone here has met someone who knows where every dime is in their estate. They're meticulous about their money and their things, yet in another area, like family, they have failed miserably. Everybody knows someone who's done very well financially, but they've lost any appreciation or any impartation to family. They've lost it. Why? Because they place no value in family and they place value in money only. You can't, and I talk a lot about money here because I want God's people blessed, because I know money is how our world operates, and I want to be able to make sure the kingdom of God can be furthered, and it takes money in our society to make that happen. So we need to understand how to make money, but it can't become of more importance. It can't become of something that we value greater than our relationships. So you got to be really careful that you understand the balance. Well, how do we know? How do we know what the balance is? See, if the Bible teaches a value system on everything, we got to know what that is. The Bible is real clear where we need to place start, where we need to start placing our value. Luke and Matthew basically say the same thing. Luke 12:31 and Matthew 6:33, both are very important verses that we need to learn. Matthew 6:33 is a verse that I got a hold of when I learned the principles of value several years ago. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which means with him being in right standing. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then these things are added to you. Luke 12:31. Seek the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God above all else. And then he'll give you everything you need. He'll give you everything you need. Two verses that would be real important to know and to live by. When you get the first thing messed up, you're starting from a wrong foundation. Let me say that again, because that was a great place for an amen. I agree. When you get the first thing messed up, everything else starts wrong. It does. You've got to have the right foundation before you can build anything. It amazes me the thousands of dollars that was spent on this gym that we'll never see again that are all under the ground. The only thing you can remotely see is where each one of these trusses come down to the ground. There's some bolts that stick up, and you can know those bolts are attached to another plate that was attached to concrete that's dug 2 or 3 foot underneath, and it's... You're never going to see it again because we're not going to dig it up. Hey, look at this. It's under the ground. And it amazes me, but here's the thing. This building wouldn't be as solid and be what it is without the foundation being right. Your life won't be what it needs to be if you don't get Matthew 6:33 and Luke 12:31. It'll never happen. See, God's got to be the foundation of everything you're doing if you're going to find value and in the Word of God and the promises that are there. Many, many people have proper value spiritually, but where money is concerned, they're messed up. So let me just say, you can get your foundation right and then still mess your building up. You can be right spiritually and messed up in all the truths of the Bible. Can that happen? Have you ever heard someone say, that person's so spiritually minded that they're no earthly good? I have met people that thought is, now I have a hard time with that statement, just let me say. I think that our foundation needs to be spiritual. And we need to be faith people. But sitting on the front porch of your house and saying, I'm living by faith and hoping somebody's going to stop and give you your next paycheck and not get out there and work, I got a problem with that. See, we don't want to get so caught up on spiritually minded that we lose the applicable word that is given for everyday life, the applied life that we are to live according to the word. I've spent a lot of time just this week in a skilled nursing facility. My grandfather is there right now, and I have been talking and visiting with people and listening. I've done a lot of listening there. I'm listening to counsel being given. I was listening to therapy being given, and I was hearing questions being asked to different people today, this morning especially. And while I was there, I was recognizing and talked to some of the people that work there that a lot of people that are there are nearing the end of their life. Now, I'm not here to be a doom and gloom guy. I believe God, and I'm believing God for Grandpa's next breath. And the Bible says that we all have an appointed time, and there's an appointment. There's a time that everybody is going to pass, and I understand that. And if right now is that time for Grandpa, then that so be it. He's ready. But he'll tell you himself, I'm ready, but if God's not ready for me, then I got work here. I've heard him say that 100 times. And so that's his mindset. And there's a lot of people there that have the same thing. But as I've been hearing them talk this week, and there's many there that are nearing the end of their life, and I understand that. And I've been told more than once this week a couple of things that I wanted to share tonight that I thought are real, real important. I mean, spending time in that environment will teach you some things. You think things are all out of whack in your life, just go sit up there for a while. It'll give you a real resolve and understanding for life. You know, life's not all about watching TV, working on a computer, playing on a phone, or playing a video game. And we've made life a lot about that. Here's what I've heard them say. It's about relationships. Life is about relationships. I've heard that this week a bunch. People there, they just want somebody to come and visit with them. They just want somebody to talk. They want a relationship with somebody. And here's what I have heard several of the staff say to us about Grandpa. He is a blessed man. And you know why he says that? Why they say that? Because there's been someone there every day. Every day, hanging out, visiting there. But for the most of the people that we've seen there, it's staff only. Now, there's a few exceptions. But I'm kind of blown away by that. The number one thing all people desire towards the end of life is relationships. It's not a cell phone. It's not a television. It's a person. Come on, it's somebody. And we have lost the value of relationships. I'm just telling you, people need to be important to you. And I find a lot of my counsel that I give on a daily basis is counseling people how to respond to someone who they're mad or frustrated with in a marriage or just in life, in ministry, in day-to-day activities. I just deal with people who are frustrated all the time. And I want you to know that it's so important that we get a hold of this tonight. We need to value people. I look around and I could go to person after person in this room and tell you that you have phenomenal value in my life. I can't tell you the value you have for me. And I know that some of you would say that about me, maybe not all of you, but hopefully you can say that about somebody in God's house. Hopefully you can say that about somebody in your life, because here's what I've seen this week. The people that are there at the end of their life are looking for relationships. And so many are missing that relationship. And here's what I just have to say today. I believe all the word wholeheartedly, and it speaks time and time again about seed, time, and harvest. And let me just tell you, if you're not planting right seed in relationships right now, you'll never harvest right relationships when you need them. I am watching my grandfather, and the reason he's so blessed is because the seed that he's planted in people's lives, and now he's harvesting that when he hasn't been able to communicate at the level he used to be. What I'm telling you is the seed that he planted, he's still harvesting. I walked in today now, and he was in a therapy class. And who are you? And I said, I'm his grandson, because there's new people working with him every day over the next few days that they're doing some evaluations. So we're meeting all the staff. But you know, here's what I saw today. My mom's been there a lot. And as she spends a lot of time there, I watched us walk into the dining room. And here's what happened. The cook in the dining room said, hi, Carol. Does that surprise anybody? No. Why? Because she's placed a value on relationships and she works hard on them. She didn't just stay silent. This lady knows her, and not because the lady came to her, mom went to her. Here's who I am. You'll see a lot of me. That's what I've been doing all week. Here's my name. I'm his grandson. He's my hero. We think a lot of this man. We want to do everything we can to make his life as comfortable as could be. And you just watch their face go, wow. And what's your name? Because right now I value you and what you have to say to him. That was my words this morning. And then all day I kept running into this therapist walking down the hallway. And she, you know what would happen every time she walked by? She didn't just bow her head and walk by and not say anything. Just keep, I mean, whatever she was doing, I didn't want to stop her. I know I can get to talking a little long sometimes. I am a preacher. And so that happens, I understand. But what I want to do is I want to make sure that people are valued. Why? Because I know in the end, it will be something that I desire. Are y'all getting anything out of this tonight? Here's the thing. We got to teach value to our children about people. See, what happens is a lot of times, and you may be one of them tonight, you weren't raised being taught, well, I'm an introvert, and I just don't always talk first, and I just don't know how to carry on a conversation. And here's the thing. I get that, but don't leave that as an excuse. Find some way to engage yourself with people. Well, I do, my spouse. That's one person. And if something happens to your spouse before you, you're going to need some value in relationships outside of that spouse. And I'm not talking about men. Don't be trying to find another woman to have a value in. So hear what I'm saying. Guys, find another guy to visit with. Ladies, find another lady. Okay, I'll just give that disclaimer here. But your value in the Lord first should cause you to have value in people. Seek first the kingdom of God. We got that. We got that. And so many scriptures, Matthew, the Great Commission. Disciples, go. Go, it says, and make more disciples. Well, how are you going to do that if you don't have a relationship with people? You're not. The only way, what you saw tonight during worship with our LA band and what was happening here, is because somebody decided that I'm going to forsake some of my time and I'm going to put some of what I consider that I have some worth in, that someone told me I had value, and Melanie comes and says, what I have, I don't have a lot, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you. And she pours in and gives. And therefore, then you see the fruit, because someone and a relationship was established. And see, sometimes it's giving and impartation. Other time, it's receiving the wisdom. It's not about age. It's about what someone else may have that you need. And other times, it's just a friendship. I just need someone who can cry with me when I cry. The Bible says, weep with those that weep, rejoice with those that rejoice. See, all of those areas are covered, and they're all about relationships. And if you don't place value on relationships, you're going to have a hard time having people place value in a relationship with you. Are y'all getting this? It's important. Remember, Luke. When money, let's just go back to money because we're talking about value for just a few minutes before we close. When money is freely given to a child and they go to the store with that money, there's no sense of value when it's just given to them. There's no difference between a $10 bill or a $20 bill. There's just not a difference. But when teenagers have a summer job, after school job, or Saturday job, working by the hour, it'll teach them value. It'll teach them value. But my kids are going, oh, here we go. Here, Dad's going to get on us now. I'll use them as an example. See, when a teenager is in a store and looks at buying something that's priced at $20, and they've had a job that pays them $5 an hour, all of a sudden they equate what they're looking at for $20 to 4 hours of work, and I don't know if I want that or not. me just tell you a trick, parents, that I've used for years, and mine are almost old enough that I can now reveal some things in front of them. They will say, I want that. Dad, will you buy that for me? Nope. Use your own money. You got money, buy that. You know what happens? All of them will equate real quick. I don't want that. Why? Why don't they want it? Because they can equate the amount of time they had to work to put the money that they've got in the bank and then decide, that's really not the value that I thought it was. Now, it's real valuable, Dad, if you're buying it. But if they're buying it, there's no. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? See, so then working a job and giving them some money, then you can, well, here's the trick to that, because I've done it. If I find that they're going to buy it, then I might buy it for them. They never know. They don't ever know. Sometimes they'll just go buy it and I'll say, hey, I want to reimburse you for that. Oh, why? Because I saw that they saw the value. I still wanted to bless them, but if I blessed them at the wrong time, it wouldn't be a blessing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Parents, come on. If you think you're going to bless them, that's great, but blessing them at the wrong time can be no different than just hitting them with a hammer. You're hurting them just as bad. See, we got parents crippling their kids because they don't teach them value. They don't teach them value about money. Value is not taught by yelling at a child when they leave their bike out in the rain. It's getting them a job and letting them leave it out in the rain and then saying, you want another one? Let's get to work some more. Before long, they realize, I'm going to take care of my bike. But we got a lot of people who won't take care of a vehicle when they're 25 years old. Why? Because they never worked a day for it. So what, I just think it's really important that we get a hold of that. Let me just give a side note in this. All this talk that's going on in our country about minimum wage is ridiculous. Now, I'm just going to tell you why. Well, I don't know if I agree with you. Well, you may not, but I'm going to give you a biblical reason. And if you can't give me one back, then I ain't arguing with you. Because I'm going to line myself up with the word. But this talk about minimum wage, see, I want to know what the Bible says about it. Matthew 20, verse 13. Let's just talk about this for a second before we close tonight. Matthew 20, 13. He answered one of them, friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I'm kind to others? Now I read that and I go, what do you mean? This is a response, and you can read this all in Matthew 20. This is a response to accusations of unfair wages that were paid in the mind of people who were workers. This is unfair. This is unfair. I taught my girls and I've taught everybody that I have a chance to teach. Don't you talk to me about fair. It's not given based on being fair. The Bible don't talk about that. Not anywhere. You just read, it's not about being fair. But this response is to accusations of supposed unfair wages that were paid. Jesus in this parable teaches that the vineyard owner has the right to pay with his money the workers, the wages were agreed upon by him and the employee. Wages are the agreement between a worker and a hirer or an employer. That's what the Bible says. That is where the agreement comes. It doesn't come with the government saying, this is what you have to pay. It never comes. That's not the way it works. See, minimum wage is not a biblical concept. It keeps young adults from learning true value of money and time worked before they grow up. They need to get paid $5 when they're in high school, an hour or $8, depending on what value the employer works out with them. But when you start mandating what to get paid, then all of a sudden that bike becomes less valuable. See, there's got to be a building up. God didn't create work as a punishment. But in our society, that's what we teach. Work is not a punishment. Work enables us to live a successful, prosperous life. And without it, there's an improper understanding of value. That's why you work hard. Worth is the price tag of value. If something's valuable, the worth of that is placed in a little tag on it, and it says, this is what it cost. That's the worth of it. Value determines worth. So basically, you got to get a hold of this. Personal value is not based on financial worth. So you got to get both sides of this coin here. Have you heard someone say, what's that person worth? You ever heard that statement? What do they mean when they say that? Financially. What I'm here to tell you, in the kingdom of God, he never asks what you're worth financially. He wants to ask what you're worth based on what your value is on the kingdom of God and seeking him first and then his mandates and being in right standing. See, I'm going to stop here because I've got a whole lot more to talk on when it comes to actual value in people, not people that you're putting them in, but value in yourself. How do you value yourself? So hang on and we'll get a part of some of that in the next teaching. Y'all get anything tonight? Praise God. I love this teaching. Y'all stand with me.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.